Oklahoma at Houston. Let's go ahead and get into it, man. Interesting game there. Houston with a real opportunity, though a 10-point underdog.
Yeah, this number's actually ballooned a bit from the 10 where it was before, out to 11.5, even 12 in some spots. A lot of skepticism amongst the professionals that Houston won't be able to catch anybody sleeping. You can make the argument that Tom Herman might be the better coach at this point in his career than Bob Stoops on the other side, but the one thing working against the Houston Cougars is what they accomplished last year and dispatching Florida State in the Peach Bowl. Oklahoma won't get caught looking past them. I think they're too big and too physical. For me, it's a lay it or don't play it type scenario, but I'll be sitting on the sidelines watching this one with bated breath.
Florida State's going to go with the freshman Francois quarterback against Ole Miss. Ole Miss with certainly some distractions. Great at quarterback with Chad Kelly. What do you think about that game Monday night?
Yeah, some strong praise from Jimbo Fisher calling DeAndre or a Francois, almost the second coming of Jameis Winston under center. I'm not sure he'll be that good that quickly. Fortunately, he won't need to be. He can lean on Dalvin Cook in the ground game. Mm-hmm. Florida State absolutely loaded on the defensive side. And for me with Ole Miss, we know they bring back Kelly, but I'm worried about what they have at the running back position. You don't just replace a talent like Laquon Treadwell. Defensively, some real skepticism there as well. I'd actually lean towards the total going under at 57. I think this is a little bit of a cagier football game and would begrudgingly lean towards Florida State, but I think 4.5, a very fair number.
Notre Dame at Texas Sunday night.
Yeah, this number has ping-ponged all over the place. Notre Dame actually opened around a field goal favorite. Line climbed as high as 5, 5.5, and has come back the other way. You've seen some sharp money on Texas pushing the line back to 3 in some locations. The Longhorns going to employ the two-quarterback system, mm-hmm. Shane Buechele along with Tyrone Swoops. And when you look at Notre Dame on the other side, a real wealth of riches at the quarterback position. I'm high on Texas. This may be a big mountain to climb. Again, a very fair number for a game that doesn't offer a whole lot of betting value.
I love the UCLA-Texas A&M game, and I really like Texas A&M because UCLA's quarterback doesn't think that the crowd's going to affect him.
I really feel like this is the biggest game of the weekend that nobody is talking about, yeah. Given all the other marquee matchups. And you hate to put Kevin Sumlin squarely on the hot seat after week one, but he loses this. It sets the tone for A&M and may eventually result in a pink slip. I agree with you here. I think Texas A&M's defensive line is what's going to make the difference. UCLA breaking in all sorts of new offensive linemen. You know, Josh Rosen, a new offense, going to be taking a lot more snaps under center. And the side story, Noel Mazzone goes from Westwood out to A&M. He's going to know what the quarterback strengths and weaknesses are. I like A&M, although a lot of the value has been zapped as this number open 1 out to 3. If it gets out to 3.5, I think you got to sit it out.
At Todd Furman on Twitter, toddstake.com, the website.
Well, Ty, you're talking about pink slips for coaches. Maybe Sumlin could be one of those guys. But who would have the highest odds, let's say, the top three guys who are the odds that they're going to get the pink slip as a coach?
You know what? It's so tough to say, Blaine, because we know all these college football fan bases love to overreact after, you know, just one poor result, especially during the non-conference portion of the schedule. So I think Sumlin's right up there. And while I don't think it happens, if LSU were to get upset at Lambeau by Wisconsin, Les Miles may have to look over his shoulder because, as we know, he was real close to being dispatched late in the season there. A lot of these other power programs, more a stay of execution. I think on the West Coast, the coach that needs a good performance would be Rich Rodriguez down there in Tucson. I know Arizona not real happy with what Rich Rod has brought to the table over the last couple of years.
Right. Well, with all the games going on, I'm going to ask you where do you see upset alert early in the first game, which is hard to predict because, you know, there's a lot of things you don't know is going to happen.
Yeah, you know what? I'll focus on an SEC Big 12 matchup that won't get a lot of attention. I think Missouri, a 10-point underdog, making the trip to Morgantown to take on the Mountaineers, sets up very well for a potential upset. We know the turmoil that the Tigers were embroiled in late last season, Gary Pinkel stepping down, and a lot of uncertainty coming into this year. But I think Missouri, for me, will be one of the most improved teams in the country, especially offensively. Give Drew Locke the entire offseason. We know Barry Odom focuses on defense. And I have some real reservations about what West Virginia brings to the table. Missouri would probably be an upset special, you know, going out on a limb saying the 10-point dog could do the unthinkable.
I'm going to stick with I guess, prop bets here, and this is with the quarterback situation with in the NFL with the Vikings, Dallas. Where do you see Colin Kaepernick ending up at? Because he could be one of those guys maybe traded, let alone butt-fumble Mark Sanchez.
I don't think Colin Kaepernick will be showing up at any USO events, let's put it that way, for his lack of appreciation for for what the men and women do to, that represent this country. I think Cap has really alienated himself from his fan base, and media has made a lot of good points that his behavior may be tolerated a little bit better in San Francisco, which is a city with a more liberal leaning than it would in, say, a Dallas or a Houston that's staunchly more conservative. I think Cap, you look at his body type, and Blaine, you probably know this better than anybody, he just doesn't look like the same bulked up player that we saw years ago when he was making impacts at the highest level. If Cap can't work in a Chip Kelly-led system, he may be on the outside looking in. The better question is if Mark Sanchez were to get cut or potentially Geno Smith, those guys would seem much better fits in places like a Minnesota or even a Dallas if they look to bring in another quarterback.
I have to ask you this because I've been pushing it real hard, but he has like 4 or 5 weeks to get ready. What are the odds that Brett Favre comes out of the Hall of Fame and retirement and plays again? I think that's Minnesota's best option.
You tell me what number you want me to give you, and I'm happy to set a number that high.
4.
I think Brett feels awfully comfortable in the gold jacket he got to don in Canton. I think we've seen Favre's last days taking snaps under center as an NFL quarterback.
Todd Furman, our guy. Is that Todd Furman on Twitter?
Todd, speaking of Dallas and Minnesota, you had tweeted out earlier their numbers, I guess, win totals for the year as well as what they might be odds-wise going into opening games have really changed.
Yeah, you've seen major adjustments there, and we can start with the Minnesota Vikings. Nobody saw a non-contact injury that apparently was a lot more serious than even the Vikings let on yesterday to Teddy Bridgewater. Sean Hill will assume the reins. The Vikings, picked by many to be a dark horse to win the NFC, their win total was upwards of 10. You did have to lay a price to go under. That number has since been adjusted down to 8.5. Fortunately for Vikings fans and anybody with a win totals ticket, they do have a defense that's amongst the best, not only in the conference, but the entire league. As far as what that's done to the week one number against the Tennessee Titans, Minnesota went from a 3.5-point favorite down to a pick 'em. So you're talking about a little over a field goal adjustment. Dallas on the other side, you look at this Cowboy team, so much being made of what Dak Prescott will be. Can he be the heir apparent to Tony Romo if Romo elects to hang it up? The Cowboys' win total was 9, 9.5. That number is down to 8. Unlike the Minnesota Vikings, Dallas really doesn't have a defense they can lean on. So if Ezekiel Elliott gets bottled up, going to put a lot of pressure on a rookie quarterback that's never seen bullets fly. As far as the week one impact, the Giants have gone from a 3.5 or 4-point underdog in some locations right around to pick 'em. I actually think that isn't enough of an adjustment for what Tony Romo means to that offense. I want to see Dak perform before I'm willing to buy into the hype.
All right, let's stay with the NFL a second longer here. The Titans have the Rams' first-round pick. I've been watching Hard Knocks. I get attached to some of those end-of-the-roster guys. It's hard for me to really judge the quality of the team. Where do you think they're going to finish this year, giving the Titans their first-round pick?
I mean, if Jeff Fisher's track record is any indication, you guys have seen it, 7-9, 8-8, with the ceiling being 9-7. So I would say the Titans could probably be optimistic that maybe they'll draft as high as, say, 7 or 8 or as low as 12 or 13. I don't see the Rams as a playoff team. I think they have heaps of issues on the offensive side, no real weapons in the receiving core in a quarterback situation. Case Keenum, you know, find suitable replacement. But the earlier you boys see Jared Goff out there taking snaps, you have to lick your chops knowing that pick is coming your way.
All right, before I hand you back to Brent, Darlington is the most fun race of the year now with all the throwback paint schemes. Who do you say wins at Darlington?
I mean, if we're going to look at Darlington and you want to say you want that feel-good story and a throwback, don't we have to look at the 88 car and Jeff Gordon there at 30-1, Mickey? I mean, that's the real Cinderella story that NASCAR is looking for. But if you want guys that probably have a much better chance to win the race, a big logjam of guys, Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Carl Edwards, Brad Kay, Joey Logano, all at 7-1. Kenseth and Truex at 8-1. Hey, at least we gave out Kyle Larson's first win in NASCAR last week at this time in this very same segment.
No doubt. There you go. All right, time for the speed round. Real quick, USC, Alabama.
Alabama, lay it or don't play it. This number's only going to climb, so if you like the favorite, bet it now instead of waiting until Saturday.
LSU at Wisconsin, do you think Les Miles, the hot seat gets really hot?
Yeah, I like this game over. I think LSU will be more dynamic offensively. I think Wisconsin get their points. 10 a fair number, but over 44.5 has me interested.
Clemson at Auburn.
Getting trendy to pick Auburn, a huge quarterback mismatch. I'm not on Team White there for the Tigers. I think Gus wants out down there in the plains. I'd look to lay it, despite it being a very popular public side with Sean Watson and company.
Interesting. All right, Appalachian State at Tennessee.
Again, I think Tennessee, all the fanfare, they'll live up to the hype in the opener. I would love to see them beat App State by about 30. It'll give me a much juicier number to back Virginia Tech in the Battle of Bristol.
You're already backing Virginia Tech.
If I can get them plus 13 in that spot, I'm more than happy to take Justin Fuente and company, which in an environment that I think will be absolutely electric.
It will be fun. South Carolina at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt by 4 now.
Yeah, this number's gotten out there a little bit quickly. My threshold was 3. I just don't trust Vandy's offense a lot. I don't really want to try and back South Carolina. I think this game is lower scoring, but the total,
yeah,
open 46, now down to 42. Not a whole lot of value left.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
Always a pleasure, boys.